Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Just too many times we had just mental lapses, and we either didn't switch properly or we didn't switch hard enough. We didn't switch over play. We turned the ball over a little bit too much. Every time we missed a layup, which we missed a lot of layups, they ran out. They're really devastating. We got to make layups. Don't turn it over and do a little bit better job mentally, just stand up on people.
It was a great win, but this series is far from over. I've been in this same situation, me and Draymond, before, or his first year, his second year against the Clippers. We came out, we won a tough game. They came back and beat us by like 30 game two. So it's natural to relax, but we're not going to relax. We still are not where we want to be, and we got a long way to go.
I love Klay Thompson citing an instance from the Warriors from long before they became these Warriors. It's nice of you to do, Klay Thompson. We appreciate it. But wow, that was something else last night in Game 1. The Warriors reminding, I don't know if they've killed him yet. There's things the Rockets can fix, but they better fix them quick or this thing's going to be over before we know it. Welcome in, everybody. The Triple Threat, Sports Radio 610. Nice to be with you on a Tuesday and with you for the next 4 hours. Sean Pendergast alongside Rich Lord.
That didn't go the way I thought it would.
No, indeed. That's Ted Johnson over there.
Anybody worried now about this series?
Of course. Yeah, you lose game one. Of course you're worried.
Yeah, I wasn't really.
Hey, I was worried when I picked Rockets in seven, just to be clear.
Here's the thing. I was yeah. worried. I was worried back in the Timberwolves series, in the first series, and then the Utah series. I saw things in their game that made me nervous back then, and it's kind of coming to fruition now.
Winning four out of six without home court is a lot harder than winning four out of seven with home court, and that's what changed after last night. So yes, obviously there's a lot of concern.
Yeah, and that's when they walk off the court last night and you lose a game, you go wow, like
one game meant a lot.
82 games. And you played those 82 games so you could get home court in this series. Like you didn't home court against Utah, Minnesota, whatever. Like you could beat them. You could play the series in Karl Anthony Towns and Donovan Mitchell's backyards, right. and you'd win those series. But this was the series why you played those 82 games to get home court and to give it up in what amounted to really, in my mind, 2.5 quarters. Because about the midway through the third quarter,
yeah, 14-4 run.
Yeah, you started
set the tone.
You started to feel like, they're not going to come back. You started to feel like.
And they did, but it was just briefly.
Well, and the over and back, and they kind of stared at each other, and then Klay hits that 3-pointer. You kind of felt how Minnesota and Utah probably felt a little bit against the Rockets, right? Like in those series, I always felt like, boy, if the Rockets get like, in most of those games, I was right. If they get like an 8 or 9 point lead, it's going to be really hard for this team to come back. That's how I felt last night against Golden State. Yeah. Like once Golden State built that first 10-point lead, and I know they got it back down to single digits a couple times, but they had to almost pitch a perfect game when the fourth quarter rolled around. They didn't do it. The Golden State Warriors, for a lot of reasons, a lot of them defensively for the Rockets, the Golden State Warriors were the much better team last night.
There was a couple of things that Coach Mike D'Antoni said after the game that makes me nervous. When he talks about mental lapses, are you kidding me? That's what I've seen this team do time and time again. You cannot afford mental lapses, lazy passes, defensive, just totally blowing defensive assignments out there. He says that, and that's what's made me nervous about this team. When you look at the end of the regular season and the first two series, there was too many times in games, even though – I mean, look, they went right through to the Timberwolves and in Utah, no problem, only losing two games in those first two series. But there was just lapses in those games that made you nervous. And then he says after the game that he thinks he needs about 55 points for maybe James Harden.
He
was being sarcastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But the point is, if he thinks he needs more James Harden There's the problem. You need less James Harden, not more James Harden.
Did you see the press conference?
That was sarcasm.
He was being 100% joking about the Harden 55-point thing.
But it doesn't matter.
He's
doesn't
joking.
Mean that's not an issue.
Yeah.
It absolutely is an issue. And guys, when I think of this team, and I think when most NBA observers think of this team, I feel like there's many things you think of. But for me, the three biggest things are ISO ball like we've never seen before, 3-point shooting like we've never seen before, and switching on defense like we've never seen before. The first of that wasn't that bad, the ISO offense. The 3-point shooting was lacking, and Sean, you touched on it. Defensively, they were leaving wide open shooters left and right.
After made baskets, if
they are not going to compete and execute on any higher a level on defense than they did last night, this will be a quick series. And the other thing this team over this season and through this postseason sort of established as part of its identity was a low turnover total. They were hurt badly by turnovers. You mentioned sloppy passes, Ted. But the thing to me that equals a turnover, they missed 13 field goal attempts inside the restricted area.
Yeah.
13 misses at the cup, which effectively are open floor, transition type of turnovers, because it's a stop. You're not getting anything out of the possession. And more often than not, you're out of position to cover Golden State as they take off. And how many transition threes did they make last night? So, I mean,
well, the fast break points were 18-3 in favor of Golden State.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a turnover to me. Those 13 misses at the cup are effectively, those provide the same opportunity for Golden State as a turnover in the open floor. So really taking care of the basketball, and the breakdowns on defense were not what we're normally used to seeing with this team.
They had 54 points uncontested shots. They have 54 points Golden State did.
Which is the most the Rockets have given up in the postseason so far.
Yeah, and you got Ariza, Tucker, Bamute combined for 9 points. You know, those are your role players. And the role players, Eric Jordan, okay, you know, he had a decent game. It wasn't great with 15 points, but Ariza, Tucker, Bamute, and you talk about points that they left in the paint. I mean, Bamute missed 3 or 4 bunnies in the paint.
He did. He
it was, I mean, it was unbelievable.
He's not healthy, and he finally admitted it after the game that the shoulder's an issue, especially around the basket where he's reluctant to dunk, had a near dunk last night, but he missed the field goal attempt and just doesn't look as assertive as he normally does around the bucket.
He can't be out there then.
Ryan Anderson, Nene, Gerald Green, how many guys off the bench can you say are not going to be able to help you in this series?
Almost all of them you just named, Rich. It's a big problem. I don't know what you want me to say, but like Bamute, if he's going to go 0-for offensively.
Joe Johnson?
Honestly, Joe Johnson could at least get you a bucket, but if Bamute is
going to see him.
If Bamute, this is who he's been this postseason offensively since he's come back, and I'm not saying this to downgrade the guy. Like, he's hurt. He's injured. He's clearly injured. If you're going to go 0-for-6 from the field in 17 minutes of play, you've got to be the love child of LeBron James and Michael Jordan defensively in order to be out. You know how good defensively you need to be, right, to be 0-for-6 in 17 minutes or whatever it is?
Yeah.
And he's not that.
I mean, it was shocking to see. I mean, look, this team is ISO happy. We get that. But they were even double. I mean, they had double the ISO plays
than
they normally do. And it was just, there was no rhythm. You couldn't get your role players involved in the game when they're just standing there, and it's so much ISO that none of those guys could get lathered up and get going and get into a rhythm because you doubled up the ISO plays that you typically do.
Here was the issue I had with the ISO last night, Ted and Rich, was, they went to it early. They've used it all year. We've sat here and talked about how awesome the ISO's been all year. So for them to use it is okay, they're going to use. But it was James doing a lot of stuff out at the three-point line, letting the shot clock bleed off. I'm cool with James and CP3 on the ISO when they get into the teeth of the defense and they draw some attention and then get some open shots. Golden State is clearly just they're
sticking with their guys.
They're sticking with their guys, and if they're going to stick with their guys, James needs to. He's got to lay off some of the step backs, man. He's got to get into the teeth of the defense and find some open shooters. Because here's the thing about like the Golden State offense is beautiful to watch. It's poetry in motion. There's movement, there's cutters, there's give and goes, there's all kinds of things going on. And Rocket fans, I think, want that out of the Rockets. The problem is this. The Rockets role players aren't those types of players. There's not creativity with P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green and Nene and all these other guys. They are endpoints. They are guys who you get the ball to somewhere where all they then have to do is shoot and not put the ball on the floor and not be creative. What? There was a point last night where Trevor Ariza and P.J. Tucker are doing a two-man game, and I'm going, this is hideous.
Yeah.
And, of course, it ended in a turnover.
But what do we do? Like, if that's who they are, then what can Mike D'Antoni do to change it up?
I don't know, but he gets paid a lot of money to do it.
Okay, but I mean, this is kind of what we're going to live and die by, the ISO game, and that's what's worrisome is they had 3 clock violations in the first half.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
And
you
about
know
three
embarrassing
more rush
that is?
Shots to beat the clock.
There was a ton of shots that they had to rush before the clock expired.
Yeah,
that is so embarrassing to me. I can't even take it, man. It's the bad look when you can't even get shots off on him.
What's discouraging is I look at what Harden and Paul did both on the stat sheet and watching the game. And generally speaking, although the 5 turnovers between them were, some of them were not very timely ones, and there were some issues and mistakes in the open court, I don't have much to quarrel with what I saw from either James Harden or Chris Paul last night. It's mostly the other guys after the big two who disappointed as far as whether you want to talk about switching on defense, knocking down 3-pointers. And when you look at that and look at the Warriors, Curry didn't have a big game. Draymond Green didn't have a big game.
Right. That's the scary part, though.
They were carried by Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson last night.
That's the luxury of having 4 All-Stars.
That's what I'm saying.
Two of them come to play, and you're good to go.
That is what, if I'm a diehard Rocket fan, I would find maybe the most discouraging, that 2 of their big 4 did not have big games, and your big 2 pretty much did have big games, and you lost in close to a blowout. A 15-point loss is close to a blowout.
Yeah, here would be my criticism of James. And make no mistake, James was delightful last night. Like, he was in terms of knocking down shots.
Not on defense, though, he wasn't.
Not on defense, he wasn't. But I'm talking offensively, because his criticism is going to be an offensive criticism. He's just initiating the offense too late. That's why you get shot clock violations. That's why it's one thing when you get a shot clock violation because you get a shot, it's an air ball, maybe you get the offensive rebound, and you just run out of time. Their shot clock violations were like, hey guys, there's 10 seconds. Hey James, there's 5 seconds. And it winds up with James doing through the legs, step back 3.
And we all know the step back's coming.
Right. And look, it's not the worst shot in the world.
Coming.
Right. I mean, James makes
a lot of them.
But I feel like, especially early in the game, get other guys touches just to keep them engaged. I think some of that 8-for-28 that guys shoot is because they don't touch the basketball very much.
They're not in a rhythm.
Yeah.
They can't get in a rhythm. And James was having a hard time beating his guy off the dribble. So it was a lot of...
He
couldn't get beat his guy off the dribble. So then he keeps dribbling more. And then he does the step back. He was making a lot of them. But then he was, you get violations a lot of times because he wasn't being able to beat his guy off the dribble.
Well, even if he did,
it wasn't like the defense was collapsing because they were sticking on their guys.
Warriors did a nice job, even though in the second half they started to get a few more of them. Warriors did a nice job with that signature, defending that signature lob play that the Rockets love to run. Clint Capela did not get the touches offensively. I thought he might. I'm not saying he's the answer offensively, but I do want to see him touching the basketball a little bit more. And Clint Capela, by the way, his numbers, they weren't tremendous.
No, he was good last night.
But my gosh, when Steph Curry tries to take a 7-footer off the dribble and gets past him only to have his shot swatted, and then a couple of possessions later has the ball stolen from him in the open court by the same center.
Here's the thing about Clint Capela. You can get him more involved. They weren't doing the high pick and roll, the high screens with the pick and roll to him.
Yeah.
They had him standing kind of just under the basket the whole time. And then if James Harden did beat his guy, then he was there to dish it late, under the basket. But most times they like to have Capela come up, set up these high ball screens, and then run pick and roll off of that. They hardly did that at all last night.
I thought Golden State did a really good job at defending that, Ted, too. D'Antoni's got to find a way to unlock some things in game two. It's that simple. Like, he's got to get with James and CP3 and figure out some ways for them to draw attention and get open shots for guys, because they're going to need these guys to knock down threes. Like, you're in a battle of quantitative math now, too, with this team, the same way teams feel when they go up against the Rockets and they're burying them in three-point shots. So he needs to do that, and he needs to find a way to unlock that pick and roll you're talking about, Ted, with Clint Capela. He's got to. The pressure is on Mike D'Antoni in game two.
The scariest thing Mike D'Antoni said was that they weren't mentally sharp. Are you kidding me? Weren't mentally sharp in game one after all this rest? That's a joke.
All right.
We got to come out and win the game on Wednesday and then see what happens. That we can win here, we can win there. It's nice to have home court. You don't have it. We got to go get it. We lost it against Utah, and we went back and got it. So it's not like, you know, we haven't done it. It'd be nice if it was a storybook ending. Hey, win every home game, you go to the next round. But, you know, it usually doesn't happen that way.
There's part of me that's glad they have a guy with Mike D'Antoni's demeanor in this whole thing because it is a marathon, not a sprint. But I understand, like, some Rocket fans are going to be frustrated when they hear, like, hey, you know, like, this is how it goes. And we played 82 games to get home court, and we gave it away in one night. That's probably how a lot of Rocket fans feel. And mathematically, they're correct. They did give it away in one night.
Yeah, coach is in a tough position. He has to kind of keep things calm. You can't overreact. It's not a good way to do that. You have to kind of, you know, downplay it and act as if, you know, look, this is a long series. Well, it's one game. That's what you have to do if you're a head coach.
Yeah.
That's the message that these guys are supposed to hear if you want to keep them fully engaged in this thing, right?
I got to tell you, at halftime at 56 all, it looked like this was going to be one of the all-time great games between these two teams. And obviously, we talked about the third quarter, and in particular, the defensive breakdowns in the third quarter, the easy shots they missed in the third quarter. The tide turned, obviously, in the third quarter, but my gosh, that first half, Draymond getting the tech a minute 7.
Yeah, you cash your ticket, Rich. Yeah. A minute and 7 seconds. I was going to text you, but I'm like, oh, Rich may not be watching this till later.
No, I wasn't live. The early haymaker by the Rockets. I mean, it was everything you'd want to see from these two teams in that first half. Unfortunately, like I said, the Rockets kind of wilted in the third quarter.
It looked like, though, there's a difference between the Rockets and the Golden State Warriors in that first half. Golden State didn't look spent. The Rockets look spent.
Amen.
Just trying to keep up with Golden State.
Yep.
That's what was the difference in the two teams, even though they were tied at halftime, is that the Rockets looked like they were gassed when Golden State looked like it was just another half for them.
It just came easy to Golden State. And even when the Rockets, you talked about the early haymaker, Rich. Like, they went to the bench for the first time out, and the Rockets were up 13-10. I'm like, the Rockets are up 13-10, and they've looked like dog crap on offense. Like, it was basically Harden 11, Warriors 10. You know, it was all Harden, step back threes, the technical foul. Like, there was nothing in there where you go, okay, well, this is sustainable. They can do this all night. Like, the Golden State Warriors do things where you go, that's going to be there all night for them. That's sustainable. The Rockets were staying in that game with things where you go, okay, well, that's not going to be there all night. Like, they got back to 56 all with Chris Paul pulling up from three, James doing his thing, and you just go, man, those two guys are not going to be able to just carry them home against the Golden State Warriors all night. It was 56-56 at the half, and yes, it was exciting as hell.
It was.
But those 56 points on each side of that ledger did not feel equal.
No, they didn't. You know, and James Harden had a big offensive night. We all get that. Look, that's great. But he also gave up 33 points on defense.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of one of those deals where I would rather...
It's some bad moments,
some really bad moments, some bad passes, just some mental lapses. Guys just blowing right by him. And when you don't have Clint Capela in there for rim protection, it looks way worse when James Harden is having his issues on defense.
There were some bad moments, and, you know, historically some of those are attributed to the heavy workload and him being out there doing as much as he does for this team, but I'm not excusing them. But I also thought there were some good moments for James Harden defensively last night. Where I saw bad continuous moments were out of guys like Gerald Green in particular. I know he didn't play a lot of minutes. The very few minutes that Ryan Anderson was out there, those guys cannot be on the floor defending the Golden State Warriors. They just can't. They can't deal.
Well, not together.
They can't deal with the ball movement. They can't deal with the switches. They are almost non-functional on defense against this Warriors team.
That was weird. I'm glad you touched on that little stint to basketball, Rich, because we were talking during the break, and I tweeted it last night in the first half when it happened. I go, it's little things. Little things like being -6 in the first half when Durant and Curry are on the bench. It's little things like yeah. that. Those are windows that Steve Kerr is giving you. He gives, and I said that when we were analyzing this series last week. I said, Kerr gives you, for some reason, Scotty Brooks used to do it all the time too, with Russ and with KD. He'd put them on the bench at the same time, and he'd have five scrubs out there. Now, Kerr doesn't have five scrubs out there. When he's got Curry and Durant on the bench, he's still got Draymond and Klay Thompson out there. But you've got Chris Paul out there, and you've got this supposed very deep bench out there, and you're going minus six in just a few minutes at the beginning of the second quarter. Not good. We haven't talked a lot about Kevin Durant. He was amazing last night. There was no answer for Kevin Durant, but Mike D'Antoni said that didn't cost us the game.
He is 7 feet and falling away, and he's one of the best scorers ever, right? So I thought he was extremely good, but, you know, we can withstand that. We can't withstand turning the ball over, missing layups, them getting out. Klay Thompson got up 15 threes. Can't give him 15 threes. We're switching everything and staying out for that reason. So we have to clean up some stuff and see if we can do it on Wednesday.
I actually agree with that. Like the Durant part I agree with. Like you can win the game with Durant scoring 35 points or whatever he had. Like you can win a game. Like it wasn't what they didn't do to the defensively. Some of it was not so much Durant because Durant's just great. Like you're not going to go, well, you know, shame on you, whoever was on Durant for giving up contested jumpers. You know what I mean? Like
he's one of the five most unguardable players in the NBA. Harden is too. And by the way, there's a case that Harden outplayed him last night. He outshot him from the field. He outshot him from three. He out-rebounded him. He out-assisted him. Plus minus, Durant has the advantage. Yeah. Durant played probably better defense. But Harden played close to a spectacular game last night.
Again, other than just a lot of decision-making, Rich, with initiating the offense. Those shot clock violations are on James.
Those are killers, man.
Those are on James. If you're asking me who did their job better last night, it's Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant played because he played better on defense, too. I mean, he's a better defender than James Harden is, too, man.
Yeah. No, James is not the reason they lost the game last night. Like, James made some mistakes, but they're role guys. We all three had our little genie wishes that we did yesterday, right? Ted's wish was that Eric Gordon played a good game.
A regular season Eric Gordon.
Yeah, and statistically he was, but he was inconsistent.
He was inconsistent.
When the game started to slide, Eric Gordon turning the ball over and missing shots had a lot to do with it. Yours was Clint Capella, who I think when he was in there, I think was pretty good last night, and I don't think it's Clint's fault that he didn't get more involved in the pick and roll.
Why is he only playing 29:57? He's just shy of 30 minutes. Why is Clint Capella not playing 36, 37 minutes last night? He didn't have a single personal foul in the game, and Nene and Ryan Anderson, who subbed for him at the five, were both terrible.
Just to finish my point on the genie wish thing, my genie wish was that the role players just play a game like you played in the regular. You know, shoot 35 to 40% from three. They were 8 for 28.
Yeah.
Ball game.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. That was, to me, offensively, that was the difference.
But they have, because they have an incredible perimeter defense. I mean Golden State does. It's lockdown defense. And so our role players are going to have a tough time because they have great defenders. So it's not going to be easy. And you're right. You know, the Clint Capella thing, it really...
Why was last night the time to pull back the reins on his minutes?
They always run high screen pick and rolls with him. That's how you... They didn't even try it hardly at all. The only times he was, you know, getting the easy alley-oops was in transition and not in set plays that they normally do. It was so weird how they had just the beginning of, you know, I mean, the most of the game, just guys cleared out, just waiting for James to, throw him the ball.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if James wasn't getting by his guy, he was taking those step back three pointers. So it was just very frustrating from us X's and O's, I think, to watch that game last night because they doubled their ISO plays that they normally do. It was more ISO than they ever typically do. And that just didn't seem to be the answer, man.
Capella had 30 minutes last night. Nene had 6 minutes last night. When Capella's not in there, it's either Nene or they slide P.J. Tucker over to the five. They had Ryan Anderson out there in the five
for a few minutes. Yeah.
So that's who's eating up the other 18 minutes. I'm with you. Like, it's desperation time now.
Right.
Yeah, I know they're only down 1-0.
I don't know if he was – maybe he was –
Could have been he was tired.
Right.
Or just
he might have needed a blow physically.
Yeah.
And sometimes pace of game dictates that. And I get that, but I didn't see that Capella was really dragging in the game last night. Oh. And they've built his minutes up slowly but surely over the course of this season. Following the rest off the Utah series, he should have been out there a minimum of 35 minutes.
Foul trouble, not an issue. He had zero personal fouls
that's what I mentioned.
In the game last night.
Yeah, and I know we're all, like, Harden had a good game, from an offensive standpoint. But the lazy passes at the end of a game in critical moments, that's what worries me is, like, I think he's so exhausted at the end of games, he just has lapses, mental lapses, and just bad plays at the end of games that cost them, and they were killing them in their transition defense was terrible last night. Rockets' transition defense was terrible last night.
18-3 on fast break points. Les Alexander is somewhere throwing things at the TV screen. I know he's not the owner anymore. Yeah. I know he's not the owner, but Les Alexander's belief has always been the key to basketball is easy baskets.
Right.
The Rockets had three fast break points last night, and a lot of easy baskets.
We can talk about all the things we think were involved in the undoing of the Rockets, but you can't ignore Jeff Bagwell barely grazing the rim on his first shot last night is a factor in the outcome. I think that set the tone.
He's not a Texan, so I don't care about his foul shots.
After the game, at least I hit the rim. Jeff, really? Come on, don't be settling.
Hey, man, he's retired. Give the guy a break. All right, I teased the topic into this segment, but I think today's kind of a unique day. We don't take a ton of phone calls here. I think people know that. 713-572-4610. Do we have DA coming up next, BMAC?
Waiting to hear.
Okay. So we may or may not. We actually have a caller here. I do want to talk about what if this persists over the next several games, because I think that's a conversation that needs to be had. Like, okay, you lose in five, let's say. Now what's Daryl Morey's next chess move?
Going there after one game.
Well, it's an interesting conversation, Rich.
The guy who's always talking about LeBron coming to this team.
About me being always so negative.
No.
Lose game one, and all of a sudden, what about next year?
No.
We're not close to next year.
No. You're the one that's always bringing up LeBron, how we get LeBron on this team.
What's that got to do with this?
You're looking
because,
for
because
next
LeBron
year.
Could be the solution as to what you do next
right,
year.
Right, but... Okay, I've said that, yes, I would welcome LeBron James as a Rocket, but I just feel like hours after a game lost, 1-1 loss to the Warriors, is not to go into the not the time to go into the mindset of, well, let's talk about next year.
No, I just think, what if this persists? What's the mentality going to be in the front office? Then Ted and I will talk about it.
I'll be here.
All right, let's go to the phones and get a phone call in here before we jump out. Let's go to the South Side and Keith. Keith, welcome in. What's going on?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. How y'all doing, man?
Yeah, pretty good.
Long time, Todd. Listen, talk to you guys for a long, long time. Teddy, I remember introducing you or meeting you with my son at one of the fan fests at U of H, and what a phenomenal guy you were and still are today. And you've been my idol for calling in to radio shows. You almost had me scared to call in for a long time listening to you. And then Rich,
welcome to our world.
Obviously, Rich, growing up, I've been listening to you when you were with Kenny Ham, man. So I've always appreciated your takes.
It's a long time ago.
I know, man. That tells you how old I'm getting, right?
Appreciate it.
Hey, man. Listen, man, I wanted to real quick piggyback on some things that you guys talked about with the Rockets. Let me first preface my statements by saying I am a diehard Rocket fan through and through. I love this team, and I love who they are, right, and what they have accomplished this year. But let me be honest, and Rich, you may not like this since you're saying after one game, should we be evaluated? I've said this all season long to friends of mine, believe it or not, and they'll attest to this. I have never, even when they won the number one seed, I have never believed that this team was built to win a championship if you got to go through Golden State. And here's my reason why. I think that ISO ball can win you 65 games in a season, but it will not win you a championship against a team who is continuously, first of all, they've been here, done that, and then they just have a mindset where everybody on their team gets involved throughout the season, so they become confident during the postseason. Whereas with the Rockets, if you take a look at Ryan Anderson, and I want you guys to really just think about it mentally, or if you go back and look at some of the tape, even before his injury, but especially during the postseason where he comes into the game, he touches the ball. The minute he touches it, he gives it up immediately. He's no threat to no defense. And for anybody to assume that this team, the assembled players that they have, was going to – and guys, again, I'm a huge fan, but I never thought that this team, with the players that they assembled, and I remember Daryl Morey saying this is why we built this team. I don't believe that this team was built to beat a Golden State for the reasons that, Sean, you pointed out earlier. A lot of these guys can't get their own shots, so they stand around and they wait for somebody to facilitate and give them the ball. And that's not going to beat Golden State, especially on nights when Eric Gordon, and he has been consistently cold all postseason. Ryan Anderson is certainly clueless out there, no confidence. And I don't feel like there's any other player on that bench that's going to do much.
We got to jump in. We're up against it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.